Cool. Are you guys just starting your own podcast?
Don't worry, guys. Get used to it. There's going to be a lot of that today.
A lot
interruptions
of
interruptions should be the name of it.
That's my superpower.
Welcome back to Interruptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Is everything good with sound and stuff, Woody? I guess.
Yeah, man. Except for whoever's, I guess, I don't know if you guys are recording in like a nail, like the factory that makes the nails.
Like a chicken
before
house.
You hammer them. You know, I mean, cool.
Or is there like a location?
Might want to like, yeah. Do you like? Is it hailing over there? Do you guys have a tin roof? I mean, whatever the case, it makes for a very good like texture for the listener.
So do you still hear it?
Sounds good. Yeah. What is
it happening now? Was it this?
It sounded like you guys were like rolling dice. I don't,
do you have a pocket full of Tic Tacs over there?
I think it's because you pushed the headphones over. Dude.
I went like this.
Oh, dude, so funny, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well. Hey, all you wizards and warriors, welcome back to your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, a podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. I'm your host, Tyler Bentz, and this is your other host,
Woody Brown.
What's up, dude?
Dude, I'm pretty excited today. I shouldn't have said pretty excited. I'm very excited mm-hmm. today. You know, ever since we wrapped up the mini three-shot campaign that we did playing Dungeons & Dragons, we have wanted to just really kind of dive into that amazing time that we had, and most specifically, having our buddies on mm-hmm. to kind of talk about it. So I'm super excited today because we have two of the most amazing adventurers of all time on our podcast. First, the first guy that we're going to introduce. I mean, gosh, I know I've known him for what might be like 20 years, but Tyler, how long have you known our first guest here?
I feel like I've known this guy for, I can't remember how I know him, you know, as far back, but it's been forever. I feel like I knew his sister first. Yeah, long time.
Good answer, man.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't want to get time. Into this whole thing of like how long I knew him.
No, I know. But like, look, we also played in bands together and stuff. I'm pretty sure they like rescued us out of a situation when like our practice space owners kicked us out one time for, I don't know, leaving the heat on for like a few weeks. That's neither here nor there. But us being in, again, small town, another band, we mm-hmm. all kind of hung out, played shows together. The first guy that we're going to introduce is Luke Pilgrim.
Woo!
Hey!
And then Ellis, who I was kind of doing this in my head too. Like Ellis, I met you.
Boy, that was a very lackluster introduction for Ellis. Well, I felt like Luke got like a 5-minute buildup.
Luke got a full backstory.
And then he's like,
I was gonna give Ellis a little bit of a backstory, but I don't like that. Kind of goes back into, I think I met Ellis.
That's the story of Ellis.
Yeah, man.
I met
Ellis like maybe like a year and a half ago or so when I can't remember Ellis.
No, you met him before then.
Did
I mean? Yeah. When Woody played like the nerdy character, like blowing snot and like wiping his forehead.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that is right.
The Awesome Agents project.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All I know is immediately we all kind of hit it off. We always laugh like crazy. I mean, you guys gave me the ultimate honor of playing a character in one of your short films. So, again, for the mm-hmm. audience, Luke and soon to be another one of our D&D players, Brad, founded this film production company called Sozo Bear Films.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything from, you know, I guess commercials and, you know, that
music videos,
but they
also promos.
Yeah. And they also do their own original films too. And I had the awesome opportunity of being in one of their short films. It's part of this anthology series. And I just have to like kind of tell this hilarious story. I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast before, but like, dude, this is amazing. So I knew it was going to be a small part, and I'm always kind of like teasing him, like, man, I'd love to be in one of those movies, man. I mean, just let me, you know, just let me show you my acting chops, bro. And so they gave me this part. My character's name was Hector, a racist.
Well, because if you don't know, Woody looks a little Hispanic.
And basically, like, the short film premiered live on YouTube during their...
it was our film festival.
Oh, Night at the Movies.
Yeah, Night at the Movies, a film festival that they do and put on and host every year. And it was premiering live on YouTube. And so I'm like, oh, man, I let my kids, like, stay up a little late. I knew they weren't going to be allowed to watch, like, the whole short film because, you know, it was probably going to be scary for them. And I was like, you know, I knew because I was there. I know my part was so small. I knew it was going to be quick. But, you know, even going into it, I thought this is going to be so hilarious because I'm sure it's just going to be like a quick dude. Even my brain didn't realize how quick the part. It was so funny. There's this scene. The girl's like walking down this hot thing, and she's like, "Hey, Hector." I'm like,
"Good morning, Hector."
Hey.
And then, boom, cut away. Bam, that's it. And it was like not even. I don't even think it's.
You got
2 seconds.
2 seconds, yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
And how long were you there?
Boy, a whole day. But they had snacks. They had all kinds of food there.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's just it was a lot of fun, and the whole time we're there, we're just like laughing.
I mean, I was gonna say we did film. It took a good bit of filming just for that little part, right? Like and as you know, doing the commercials with you, we have to do like I don't know, it's like hundreds of takes and then different angles. So even though your little part was like, hey, and then you walk off, we did at least 2 or 3 different angles of that, and that was probably filming for 30 minutes or something just on that little part. Where,
the scene that you use, like the up close in my face, that was when I really did have to quote unquote use some acting chops because like the person that I was walking past wasn't really there. I just had to like kind of move my head and look towards a direction when you had this huge, it was going to be a big zoom in. So like I wasn't really walking by her at that time. I just had to pretend I was. And so needless to say, I'm checking the mailbox daily, but I think that letter from the Academy is probably on its way. So
hey, actually, that was SAG. It was a SAG film, so like you had a line in a SAG film. So that's
pretty
big
because
you just need like 2 or something to be like certified or some SAG certified.
Yeah.
I don't really know all the rules. We don't deal with that.
Well, I think another requirement might be to take a shower while you're recording a podcast.
I was wondering.
Good God. You guys got a dog that got that muddy all of a sudden? Needed to wash him off before he's allowed to sit on the couch next to you? What is happening?
We have these microphones we got from NASA, and they can just pick up anything.
Yeah.
You really have to use your imagination.
Well, yeah. We're in the like basement, you know? So like the pipes are literally over our head.
Literally right
like,
above us.
The other day, our intern, Ryan, he's working and just a ton of water falls on his head.
No way.
It was so funny, dude.
We had a leak.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
So you might hear that
from time to time. Still decided to put your recording studio there. Anyway, oh, man. And like I'm constantly like I'll just text Luke and I'll just be like, dude, I've got this incredible idea. And I've created this like hashtag called Hector the Hero, and it's just like me trying to like convince Luke to bring back Hector and him be like at the end of the not even spinoff, not yet, but at the end of this whole anthology series, basically like this character that had like a 1 second appearance ends up being the hero of the entire thing. I mean, you know what I mean? Just forget about it.
That's like a M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Man. Exactly. So
the audience is like, who was that?
Who was this random guy we saw?
Hector the Hero. Yeah, he's the hero. But anyway, welcome guys to our show. Like I said earlier, we have been wanting to do this, since we finished up the 3-shot campaign. Yeah.
We just can't let it go. We like anything to keep us in that mode of, you know, being back in that campaign.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Dude, it was a blast.
Yeah, man.
And that was pretty much... I don't know about you guys. Have you guys played before? Because like, this was pretty much my first time really going through a campaign.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of get into that. So for me, that was the first time I've ever really played D&D. I think like gosh, I don't even know how many months ago now, but I think the only reason we all even knew that we were getting into it was because on a whim, I just bought the Stranger Things D&D starter set, mm-hmm. you know, just because, I mean, I just wanted it in on my shelf. I mean, really, because I love Stranger mm-hmm. Things. And I'm kind of like thumbing through it and getting into like watching some videos on YouTube about Dungeons and Dragons. And then that opened up in the conversation where Tyler, you know, played it when he was much younger in like middle school and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, Ellis, I think you may have seen that post.
I commented on your Instagram post.
I think I tagged you.
You tagged me, yeah. And then I commented on it.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Because I was like, Ellis is the best dungeon master around, you know, so I commented.
Well, initially it was like Woody and I were because he kind of was getting into it, and I hadn't played since, you know, middle school, maybe early high school, and I'd always wanted to get back into it. So the plan was like, okay, well, Woody's going to kind of – figure out how to be a dungeon master, and then mm-hmm. we're just going to play like a, you know, like me, and then like a non-player character, you know, here and there, like kind of whenever. Mm-hmm. And then I think somehow you guys were sort of brought in.
Yeah. So Ellis like wrote a comment that was like, "Oh man, I've been DMing a group for like I don't even 10 years or something."
Dude, it's a long time.
And so I was like, oh man, I may have to hit you up for some tips. Well, then Tyler and I kind of like did like a Zoom one day, I think my son too, and where I was just like, yeah, man, I'll take you through this module. Because like for me, initially, the idea of being the Dungeon Master, and again, for listeners who have zero idea about D&D, we'll kind of try to define certain terms as we go through them. But Dungeon Master is a person who is essentially in charge of moving the story along by presenting kind of either the scene or what's going to happen, and then the players kind of use that to decide what they want to do, and then different things mm-hmm. kind of unfold from there. So the idea of being the Dungeon Master, the person that like creates this story and brings these characters into it, like I love storytelling so much that I thought, I mean, I feel like I was destined to do this, you know, like Ellis can tell you mm-hmm. whenever I send like a backstory on a character, which should just be like, oh, it was a dwarf,
like
he is short, it's like pages and pages of just this like long drawn out story, because I love that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, man, being a DM, that's great. So Tyler and I tried it out, and I was just like, oh, I don't, you know,
it wasn't bad though. I mean,
oh god, in comparison to like, so then I think we reached out to you, and I kept on like asking a bunch of questions and all this kind of stuff. And you kind of offered like, hey, you know, I mean, like, since you guys are just kind of getting started, I'd be willing to kind of like put together a little, you know, one shot or three shot campaign. Heck, you might've offered one shot. We might've like strong armed you into three, which
well, then turned into,
it was originally going to be like a one, but then it just kind of turned into like five or whatever it was.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Woody and I had also talked about like, hey, you know, let's really take our time. Let's stretch this thing out.
Plotting the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I think it was just like a natural sort of addition to have Luke be involved, because you guys not only work together, but, you know, we all, when I'm thinking of like, okay, who do I want to hang out with? It's going to be super fun. It's going to be tons of laughing, mm-hmm. tons of just being, you know, inappropriate, and just a bunch of dudes like, immediately, you know, like Luke and I, anytime we're like around each other, I mean, I feel I can't wait until Brad's like in on all this stuff, because like yes. he's always the one. Yeah. Like anytime we'd be filming or something, me and Luke would just be literally crying, laughing so hard that we can barely breathe. Yeah. And Brad's like, okay, guys, let's get back to it.
Let's reel yeah. it in here.
Oh, yeah. Man. But,
well, also, too, like we, like I knew about you, you were on our podcast, but we didn't really like know each other mm-hmm. that well. So Luke was a really good like link for us to be able to play together.
Because yeah.
if it was just me with you and Tyler, it might have been like a little weird.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Mainly because of Tyler.
Yeah, for sure.
And like it was cool too, because like you mentioned, Tyler, like we go way back, but I haven't seen you in years probably.
Yeah, it's been forever.
I can't even remember the last time. So yeah, when we all got on this group chat, it was awesome. It was like old times again.
It was like being yeah, it was like being back home. It's funny because I was talking to Woody earlier today, and I was trying to think like how have I known you so long? And I really don't know. I think that I remember when you were like a little kid, wouldn't they like have you up at like I feel like you were, they brought you on stage at like a Weep show at like Buffalo Wild Wings to play guitar.
I was about to be like, what kind of show is this?
it was super random, but like,
no, that happened.
I mean, you were an amazing guitar player.
I was like, yeah, probably 12 maybe, but yeah, Weep. And of course, Weep was like my idols because this was like the local band that everybody knew, you know? So yeah, they brought me up at, it's like Taco Mac or whatever that place was.
Taco Mac, that's what it was.
And they let me play on one of their songs. And,
nice.
It was a blast. That was like a highlight for me at 12 years
old. Ladies and gentlemen, put your wings down for a moment. Let us introduce Luke Pilgrim.
He's like, hi.
Yeah, like the guitar.
Hey, everybody. Hey, same. I'm 9 years old, and this song's called "I Love My Mommy."
Well, I feel like I knew your sister, Carly. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like really well, but like
I was about to say how.
No, I mean,
you mean like biblically, or
and I would go in like the movie, like the satellite store,
right?
That your parents ran, right. And you know, that was like where you got your VHS tapes.
Yeah.
That
was the thing.
Like, I feel like I would see you guys all the time.
Right. Yeah. Cause my parents, they had a movie rental business. So growing up, it was like, that was the place to be, man. When like they opened, you know, like everybody wanted to go to cause there wasn't a Blockbuster or anything. So
no.
Yeah. People would show up. They had MTV blaring on the TVs and it was just like the coolest place.
Sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So, so I feel like I'm sure you probably we were probably around each other at different points when we were younger, but definitely I remember early 2000s, like literally 2002 or 3 or something. We started hanging out some. I started playing, I think it was before I even had Last November. No, maybe I had started Last November, but it was like early still. But it was definitely, I think, before you guys started the Modern Society.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like Last November was going maybe even at the end of Cloud 10.
Yeah. I think so.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Because by the time we kind of got up and running with the Modern Society, like, I think you guys were already pretty, like, you know, established and playing out.
Yeah, I think we've been playing for about maybe like a year or two or something.
That's cool. Even more backstory.
Yeah, for me.
For Luke.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Well, I mean, like, in terms, like, going back to, like, D&T, and not like, you know, Cloud, who started first, with whose band started first or whatever, which is, you know, I'm sure our listeners are real, you know, I'm probably going to edit that out, but, oh man, I got to say, like, for anybody that is thinking about getting into D&D, I think sometimes there's that like sort of barrier of entry. It's kind of intimidating, being like a player. So I knew, okay, I'm going to kind of maybe just take some DMing tips from Ellis, but let me focus on this character creation type thing. And luckily, Ellis invited us to kind of all have a session zero. To where we could all kind of jump on a call and talk about, you know, what kind of characters that we wanted to create and all the different like options. And that's the thing, man. If you want to talk about paralysis by analysis, there are so many options, and especially that just keep on coming out of different races of character. And again, if you're not used to Dungeons & Dragons, you know, obviously there's like the main ones, which is like human,
elf, dwarf,
orc, dwarf. You know, those are like the original kind. And then there's just like anything and everything, basically.
You guys also kind of like did yourselves dirty, though, because you both chose like some of the most important magic classes that you could possibly choose. And Luke's like, I've been through this before. I'm playing a class that has no magic.
Yeah, man. Like, it's so funny that you brought that up, because I wrote that down to kind of talk about. Like, it was so hilarious that time where, like, well, you know, I kind of want to do this. And Luke's just like patiently sitting there, like kind of quiet while we're just like talking about all the different options and spells. And I kind of want to do this. And Luke was kind of like, yeah, I mean, I kind of did this one time, but I kind of just want to be able to break.
Yeah.
I just want to rage.
Yeah, I just want to destroy everything in my path.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. It was great.
That's exactly what you did. Yeah.
I think you played a wizard the first time.
I did.
And you got knocked unconscious like first five.
Really?
Dude, it was so hard. And it was, we only had me and Brad, and Ellis was DMing. So we, like, it's not enough people to play, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I just didn't know how to do the spells or any of that stuff. So that's why this time I was like, I want to be something that's like big, strong, and just can like run through and knock people out.
Yeah. Well, I think what would be kind of cool is maybe each of us quickly just kind of describing the character that we played in this mini campaign. Luke, since we just talked about how you wanted to just be this like monstrous rage, you know, behemoth of a character, why don't you tell us a little bit about your dude?
Yep, my name was Drogo. And I was a barbarian, half-orc barbarian. And the greatest thing was, I guess, Ellis started us at level 14.
Yeah, it was 14.
And, man, at that level, you can do a ton of stuff, which is great. But
yeah, it was rad.
Yeah, so what was cool is just being my character could rage. I could do these reckless attacks, which means I get to roll with advantage. So I can roll twice and pick the higher number. And then he just dealt a lot of damage. So it was just a blast playing that character.
Yeah. One thing too that I think I should note about, or that we should note about, you know, even though your character was pretty sort of like basic as far as like, okay, now I'm just going to like go off and like, you know, start swinging. Like I will say, as far as all of our characters, you probably were rolling the most of any of us as far as like, okay, now you get another bonus roll.
Yeah.
Now you get to roll for this. And that, like,
man,
it was pretty wild.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was wild and also hilarious because you only had like one dice set. And so you'd be like rolling, like, where like it's supposed to be like 7d6. Yeah. You're like, hold on a second. Clink, 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 clink.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Tyler, you want to tell us about your character?
Yeah, my name was Elric Ascalon. Elric was sort of a nod to the 80s black and white explosion comic called Poison Elves. Ascalon was the name of the weapon that St. George used to slay the dragon. I was a wood elf, blade singer, which is, I mean, you guys pretty much made fun of him the whole time.
Just disappointing.
But
I'd say Woody made fun the most.
Woody definitely did. Thank you, Luke and Ellis.
I'm true neutral, dude.
But he was kind of this, you know, which I kind of leaned into that sort of like the crow and like the poison elf. That 80s kind of like somewhat skinny, effeminate. I mean, you know, you think of like Legolas also, you know, you just had that sort of type as an elf, but he's kind of like, I don't know. I just sort of pictured him as this sort of goth kind of dude who would just sort of whip around the battle, kind of like dancing and like, I don't know if he actually like sang really. Do you know Ellis?
Well, technically whenever you play a blade singer, it's supposed to kind of incorporate like song and dance into like the fighting style. So it's like your entire move is like a performance.
Right. Well, it's weird though too, because like when I was kind of looking into like a blade singer, I would, you know, you would kind of read it and it almost made it out like the singing thing was sort of a like more metaphorical as far as like his, you know, blade song was like him just, you know, slashing people. But then other people would, you know, were talking about it actually being an actual song. So never really sang anything.
Well,
but,
something I imagined, and I never specifically said it, but in my mind, whenever you were like swinging your blade, I imagined the blade itself like humming, like thrumming almost like a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And then every time you would swing, it would create like this cadence of sound or whatever that was almost like a song.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, and I had the shadow blade thing, which.
Yeah.
Was, you know, I'm sure only helped kind of add to that.
It's funny because I always imagined, like, just because I just thought it would just be hilarious. It's like our characters are in battle and all of a sudden this freaking elf just starts like moonwalking and you're like, what is he doing now?
And he's
you're like, okay.
I took the character so seriously until you sent the drawing of him and I was like, oh.
Well, I created my like little avatar picture was which was like an elf, but then the face of Freddie Mercury. Yes. Which didn't help.
I was like, got
taking
it.
Him seriously.
Yeah. You know, like all of us are deep in battle in the nine circles of hell. And all of a sudden you're just like, here he is. He's going, Mama. Ooh. You're like, oh, just get your sword out, dude.
Hey,
come
he
on.
Was powerful though, man. It's been actually pretty tough not to become a blade singer on this next go round.
That's kind of how it is, but it's like every class is that way, right? So it's like you feel connected to that one, but if you play another one, there's going to be like a whole new arsenal of stuff that feels like and like fun to play.
Hey, we'll get into how connected we get with these characters in just a minute.
Tonight's program has been brought to you by...
America's future can be determined by our dreams and our visions.
It was very intense worldwide.
For over 200 years, there have been reports of giant man-like creatures
from another dimension, another world, I don't know.
The most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
You're listening to That Would Be Rad.
So my guy was, my character was a dwarf named Thoron Stormspeak, and he's a cleric. And so essentially he's kind of like a, religion and stuff are very important to the clerics, but they're also like magic users. And they use like holy magic and stuff. And so I wanted to build this guy who was kind of gruff. He's an older dwarf. He actually comes from like a clan of dwarves that were almost like wiped
out.
He's
a youth pastor.
And he's a youth pastor down over there in the mountains. And I wanted him, like we needed someone in the group that was going to be just really good for like healing the group, because I knew we have, you know, Luke's character who's going to be super powerful like in battle. We have Tyler's character who's going to at least provide us with music. And then we're going to need somebody and that, dance. You know, can kind of, you know, use up all of their turn healing Tyler. And we'll get to why that's significant. In just a little bit.
You need
bit.
That party balance though, right? Because
yeah, you
it's
do.
It's like,
man.
You guys.
I
go ahead.
I do feel bad for like the healer or like the medic role, because it's like somebody has to do it. And I will say, Woody, you handled it beautifully, and especially like the way that everything kind of came to a close. Was pretty awesome.
Well, it was awesome, man.
The clerics too, like I don't sleep on like the healing class, because they're really strong. Like they have some upper level spells that can deal a ton of damage. Yeah. And like you can really build around them to make them like almost unkillable. And they're also just like with the three people we had, that was the best way that we could have possibly balanced out your party, where you guys just didn't get wiped like as soon as you went to hell.
Well, and I liked it, you know, like I think we all do this, you know, in any Dungeons and Dragons player or DM or whatever, there's elements of ourselves with like things and characters that we create. And so like, I really did enjoy being the healer, and, you know, just being able to kind of like carry that sort of job on my back and just know that, okay, like at least I can like give everybody, you know, some health, and we can kind of keep on crushing.
Plus you're pretty short too, so that I'm sure you sort of identify as like,
hey, come on, man. Hey. I'm pretty sure I'm either taller than you or just
you
the
are
same.
Not you are at least 6 inches shorter.
Yeah, I need numbers now.
I'm 6'3" and Woody is like 5'4".
You are not 6'3", dude. You're like maybe how tall?
I really am. I'm 5'11".
Okay, then yeah, you're a couple inches taller. I'm 5'9".
And this is another thing, which I think it's really endearing, but Woody's feet are so small.
You're so full of dude. That is not true.
God, I'm kidding. I'm
idiot.
Kidding.
This is really endearing, but oh my gosh, dude.
This is another thing that happens with when all four of us get together, is just like, it's just a constant.
It just goes off the rails.
Well, and it's a constant case of the giggles, like just nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
So we had the session zero, and then gearing up and going into I guess the very first session, dude, I was so excited. I was so nervous because yeah. I didn't know what mm-hmm. to expect. And I think too, like if you watch anybody that's like thinking about getting into D&D, you watch videos and stuff online and you've got these folks that have been doing it for a long time. They're much more comfortable yeah. with the role-playing aspect of it. They're doing voices, they're dressing up. And so you have this like feeling like, oh man, I mean, is that what's expected of me? And so like, that's what was really cool about the session zero is we kind of like outlined and asked the questions of what do we need to expect? And Ellis, you were very good at just like kind of not only kind of putting us at ease, but just sort of like being like, I mean, you know, just
whatever you're comfortable
do what you're comfortable with and that kind of thing. So I was still kind of nervous, but so excited. It was like Christmas Eve basically before we played that first session. And then we get into it. And as like high as my expectations were, I gotta say, dude, it exceeded like exponentially mm-hmm. after that first. I mean, that first session was just like mind blowing. Yeah. And it was just so much fun, man. Like I know Tyler and I, like after we played that night, we called each other immediately. And we're like, dude, oh man. Yeah. And then you remember that time when, you know, this and this happened and like, oh, dude, it's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget. And again, you know, I played like way back in like middle school, but you know, when we first started, I mean, even kind of going into the session zero, it was still kind of weird. Like I didn't really know Ellis that well. I knew Luke pretty well, but it, I mean, like mm-hmm. you said, Luke, it had mm-hmm. been like 10 years, maybe 12 years.
It's been a long time. Something like sure.
that. Yeah. And so it was, you know, it was a little like, not awkward, but it was a little sort of like, geez.
Sorry, it's another bath.
Yeah. Happened. I was taking a shower.
Waterfall, dude.
but that the beginning of the first sort of like official part of the campaign, you know, when we're like mm-hmm. we're walking down the stairs to go outside to see like everything that's going on, it was just the weirdest feeling of like it was like, you know, we're all just kind of like little kids, you know, looking up in wonder at Ellis as he's like reading story time, felt like. And it was like I didn't know whether to like laugh or like, it was like I didn't mm-hmm. it was just such a bizarre sort of feeling of like, I'm so excited because somebody's telling me a story basically. It was amazing, and I'll never forget that. And it only got better and better.
I think too, it's like people don't realize how much work has to go into a campaign. Ellis did just hours and hours of writing. And then not on top of that, his delivery is really important and he's awesome at it. So he's like, he's setting the tone, like he's describing everything we see because literally there's nothing there.
It's invisible. It's in our mind. Right.
And then he's just so good at that. And then he does all these voices as well. So it's like, mm-hmm. you got to have
go ahead and give us some of those voices, Ellis. I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I can do it on the spot. I'm not ready. But like, I mean, the thing to me for D&D is like, it's the most fun game that you can play with a group of people because anything can happen.
Period.
Right? Yeah. So mm-hmm. As a DM, it's also important to realize that you have this cool idea of like what you want the story to be or how it looks, but no one else can see it because it's in your head. So you have to be mm-hmm. as cinematic as you can.
Flexible.
And you also have to be able to like artistically like
describe
like exactly what everyone is seeing, and like especially during fights too, because you have to mm-hmm. be able to give them an idea in their head of what the map looks like, everything that's going on, so they can make their choices like accurately based on like what's delivered to mm-hmm. them, you know.
But also we were playing on, for all of you out there who, you know, may only be into like playing physically in front of each other, for us and probably a lot of people with like the pandemic and all that nonsense, but we played on an app, a web app called Roll20, and so Ellis would also not only would he like explain everything, he would also like create and render and like make these a lot of the visuals that we would see as well. So like, to me, the most impressive thing is not only are you basically guiding a bunch of amateurs around and like, yes, you got to roll again, Tyler. Yes. You, like, not only are you doing that, but then you also have to like you're constantly having to think on your feet, because no matter what you came up with, I'm sure we were just going to wreck it completely.
Oh, it gets derailed by players like every time. And so it's like having to have as many backup plans as you possibly can.
Wow.
And if like you don't have a plan ready, you just have to do it on the fly and you have to work off stuff that you've seen or know.
So is that something that I'm guessing that's probably something you just gained from experience of just doing it for years and years.
Yeah. I've played for maybe 8-10 years, but I also watch so many D&D podcasts of people playing that you kind of just the information bleeds into you. Like that's how I know all the rules, because it just comes up so often in all these podcasts and stuff that I watch that you just learn them.
Oh yeah. It was amazing to see you just calculate things on the fly.
Yeah. On the fly.
He would know all those rules about how far does your spell reach or whatever.
Right.
He would have those things, or he could look it up quickly if not. And just being so fast, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I learned very quickly was I might be 70 before I even try to DM a dang game. There's just so much to it. It's so intimidating.
Here's the thing too. When I first played D&D, I was introduced to it by a friend and literally was blown away by how fun it was. And so immediately I was like, I want to try DMing. And I DM'd for a group of 5 people and had no idea what I was doing, but it was still a really good time. We kind of made up rules because we didn't know the rules or we didn't look them up. But what mattered was everyone was having a good time and you were having fun. And then eventually situations would come up where you're like, okay, let's actually look at the rules. And over time, it kind of you grow into the actual rule set and stuff. But I don't think that it's scary to DM, but you don't have to be scared, because no matter what, everyone's going to appreciate the time that you put in and they're going to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that you have is just the patience of a saint, because that first game, dude, that first time that we met, dude, you're explaining all this stuff. You're like, okay. And so a popular sort of phrase, I guess, that a DM will ask the players at the quote unquote table is Ellis will lay out this scene. You'll go through this stuff and he'll just be like, so what do you want to do? What do you do? And we're just all kind of okay. And then we're like, well, I'm sure it got on your nerves. We're like, I think one of the things that we've kind of learned over the course of these 5 or 6 sessions is that we're just going to start making the decision and then seeing the consequences, good or bad, instead of and so you were so patient with us, because I think it took us almost the entire first session to get down a hallway.
No, the funniest, and I would actually, if you can remember how originally you, in your mind, this was going to play out, I would love for you to tell Ellis, but the way we literally sat at this area, which is basically standing in front of an elevator, just trying to figure out the up or down buttons. We probably took 35 minutes.
And they don't look like up or down buttons. They're these two columns with what he described as
buttons. They're runic circles.
Yeah. And to us, we're like, is this a trap?
It's a trap.
Indiana Jones in this. Do we got to do something to hold on. Do we touch this one and the other one at the same time?
But dude, the brilliance is we spent all that time trying to figure out basically, like you said, the up or down buttons of this trolley or whatever you call it. Is that what you call it? A trolley?
Gondola.
Yeah, a gondola to go across this vast space of lava and this dark thing. We spent all that time. And so we're like, man, that was silly. And then we go and we try to unlock this freaking door and it chops Drogo's arm off or whatever. So it's that's the brilliance of it. It's the stakes are high and you never know what's going to happen.
And also, it's so important to pay attention to what he's saying, because we learned several times that we didn't listen to the descriptions well enough. And usually I paid the price because I had
they
the most
just sent you in.
I had the most HP or whatever. So I would be like, all right, I'll go first. And then I think you guys told the story before on your show about poor what was his name?
Oh, the No Mission old guy.
Oh, Calvin or
no?
What was that guy's name?
Starts with a D. Davin.
Devin.
Davin.
Davin. Poor Davin.
Davin.
But,
yeah. Davin Luckfoot.
But dude, like Ellis. I mean, Luckfoot. And like Woody, I guess suggests I think to hold him over.
Oh,
the,
wait, we got to give the whole. We're gonna blame this on the grumpy.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's Ellis. Okay, this is kind of part of what we're sort of gonna put you on the spot with. We kind of wanted to ask a couple questions of like what would have been, you know, like what were your plans for Davin, and then maybe kind of explain like what we actually did.
Well, yes. The whole original thought process was to give you guys like a quest within the quest, mm-hmm. right? So Davin was on basically like this entire thing of like atonement or redemption, right? So he's the reason that the rest of his family is locked up in the nine hells. And it's like driven him mad because he watched his grandson get murdered in front of him. It's basically broken him at this point. And he's here because he's his selfish desire to rescue his son. And so the whole point of his story was to bring him, to reunite him with the remaining parts of his family and get them out of Avernus. And then I was eventually going to tie them into like future, like the real campaign, but nope. He just was immediately killed.
He perished.
Yes.
What about his pet rat? Like, what was that guy?
Because his mind was broken, he had found a rat within Avernus and he named it after his fallen grandson.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, man. We didn't get to do any of that.
No, there was like whole like side bit there.
He was like, anytime we asked this guy any questions, and this is when we started to like really kind of get into the role play aspect of just being like, okay, well, hey, Davin, enough, because like he was kind of like a giggly kind of crazy person, and like Thoron, my character, was just kind of getting impatient, you know, and was just like, hey, man, here, you know, here's what we need to know. Can you show us the way to this? You know,
prison or
whatever.
Intimidation will work sometimes, but not.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that we like rolled to use intimidation. It was just like a crappy roll, and so finally we're just like, dude, why don't you just hold him over the lava and like mm-hmm. scare him and get the information? And we asked Ellis, "Can we do that?" And Ellis's famous answer, which he should just basically get a tattooed in old English letters across his chest.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing!
You can certainly try.
I mean, I hate it, but it's amazing.
Yeah. And so Luke's character, just imagine this big, humongous half-orc barbarian grabbing this poor little gnome, crazy dude, and just holds him over in the lava. But we didn't think about the fact that, like, that's how real the mechanics are of this game.
Lava's pretty hot.
Lava's hot. Real hot. And it basically just burned.
I burst into flames. And so did Davin. And Davin was, like, dead instantly. And I was, like, almost, I mean, it took a ton of life off of me, and I have, and
that guy was a level one gnome old man.
Yeah,
he had like 8 points,
and it killed. Obviously, his little rat was like,
"Oh yeah,
he was just gone." And then we're like, "Oh no, what do we do? Like, we got to bring him back."
Yeah.
Oh my god,
dude, did we bring him back?
Yeah,
you brought him back just to kill him again.
Yeah, we brought him back.
Yeah.
So we brought Woody. I think you brought him back.
Well, and I gotta say, I feel like I do think that Ellis looked at us like we were just horrible murderers. But I've got to say, I do think that, okay, so Luke's character, the big barbarian, holds him over the fire, poof, burst into fire, dead. So then I really do think that our thought process was to like, you know, that was horrible. We have a cleric, we have a healer, let's bring him back. And Woody, I'll let you take it from there.
And then that was the initial thing. And then he's just like suffering. Then we're like, hey man, we can't stay here any longer. Just chop his head off.
Yeah. No. You guys were worried. Okay, this is where metagaming can come back and bite you in the ass, because you guys were thinking of him like you would think of Gollum. You're like, oh my god, this guy's gonna come after us and kill us. He killed his pet rat. And so your guys like, well, what if we just kill him and we chop off his head? And you're like, yeah, then he definitely won't follow us.
Yeah. So in reality, he would not have. You don't
know.
He would.
He also gave you guys some key words that, if you had picked up on and like kind of like explored, it would have opened up his dialogue a little bit more.
Well, we missed those while we were chopping.
Like
his head
he mentioned Lucina, which is the girl that you found later on by name, and no one like really dug into that.
Yeah. So we learned a lot.
We did learn a lot.
I mean, yeah. I will say we all felt like, I'm not joking, man. Like the next week, I mean, I just felt terrible. Like I felt the, like, not the full emotions, but I mean, like, I felt like, dude, we just destroyed this innocent being, man. Yeah. Like, it just felt awful. At the same time, it was kind of funny to laugh out later. Does that make us evil? I don't know. But
that also tied into Woody's character, because alignments are super important. And you're a cleric of lawful good, which means that you value life above all others. Mm-hmm. And then you just murdered this man. And so that's why you had the dream and you had to have a talking to with your deity.
Yeah, that was because amazing.
Because gods are super important in D&D. And if you go against your god's beliefs and wills, you'll lose their power.
Yeah. And I had and never thought of that.
Literally, like, make you... Yeah. And so that can be a really big thing for clerics. And it's also like Oathbreaker Paladins.
That was something that we, you know, from not playing. And I mean, I never remember encountering anything as far as like you're kind of going against like your deity, your alignment and everything. But that was so unexpected to be like, oh, wait a minute. Wow. You just got like penalized by, you know, going against.
There's consequences.
It was it like blew my mind. And it was funny because it was sort of like, whoa, what just happened?
It's like also to mitigate you from going to like a town and just murdering everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, if you do that, then obviously there's going to be like a manhunt for you, right? So you can't be, it's not like you're free to go do anything you want because there's like real world consequences kind of like woven in.
That's what happened to me and Brad that first campaign.
Yeah.
We just started like chopping arms off people.
Yeah. Walked up to someone and cut off like their leg or something.
Did not make it far.
Yeah. The whole campaign really was like designed to give you a taste of every single thing just about that you could run into in a long-term campaign, which is why I started you off at level 14. Like, also, you couldn't have as dynamic of a story because I can't send level 2 players to like hell because you'll die immediately. So it kind of gives you like this like real world, like world ending like goal. It's like, we have to do this to save the world. It's a much cooler story. And then you get to try just about everything in D&D, and you know what you get to work up to when you start a long-term like campaign.
Yeah, man, that was super cool. And part of the reason why I'm just so excited to start this next long full-blown campaign from you know, level 1 essentially from the start, you know. It's just going to be so much fun, man. We've kind of gotten a taste of what the possibilities are whenever you're those higher levels, all the powers, all the spells. And Tyler and I were talking about this too, that just imagine the knowledge that we'll have by the time we are level 14 and 15 of like our spells, of the utility of them,
how we can,
you know, walk into certain scenarios and how we can kind of, going to be so much fun, man.
Yeah, that was one of the things, even though I was a Bladesinger character, I was, you know, basically a wizard. And so, you know, I think that was one of the things that was a little difficult that I think, you know, starting back at level 1 will really, you know, help, is like, you're not really intimate with your spells. Like, you didn't kind of grow with those spells of like, oh, well, now you're level 3, so you get this spell or you get this spell. And so, like, I'm really excited to, you know,
yeah,
to
you'll really
fresh.
Get to grow into the characters too. You'll you'll feel closer to them, and you'll be able to embody them a little bit better, like, the longer you play them. Because there was a lot of stuff too as a wizard you didn't get to like fully explore, like finding scrolls, writing them into your book to learn new spells. It's just like a ton of like side stuff. You never got to like go shopping as like a party or like have downtime where it's like full role play, where you're like in a city, like talking to people.
That's what I was
gathering information, stuff like that.
That's what I'm looking forward to, is like, but the hellscape was cool, but like being able to go and actually, you know, experience a town or a tavern or whatever and role play in it.
That's one of my favorite parts, honestly, too. It's just...
Yeah, dude, that's so funny that you say that, Luke, dude, because Tyler and I both, just the other day, were talking like, man, the battling and all that is super fun, but I can't wait to be able to, like, role play more, which is totally opposite to what I thought, you know, when we first started. Like, at first, I was like, oh, man, that makes me so nervous, but, like...
Yeah, you need, like, a healthy balance between the two, honestly. It has to be, like, 50-50.
For me, as it sort of went along, I think I kind of got to the point where I really enjoy like the sort of the problem solving aspect and the, you know, the travel getting to, you know, in between like the battles. I feel like those were really fun in like in how you're sort of problem solving of like, okay, well, you know, your feet drop out from under you, you're sliding down this tunnel or, you know, off this cliff, what do you do? And it's like having to figure out, okay, well, this character has this item which can allow them to do this. And this I love all that stuff, especially because it's like sort of the teamwork kind of deal.
I gave you guys like a lot of time because you're new, but eventually you'll only have like so much time in like one of those like high paced like scenarios, right? Where it's like you gotta like think on the fly to like have it happen.
Yeah.
Or like you can lose the turn, you know?
Yeah. And something else that's just so fascinating to me is you can have the most powerful character ever.
Yeah.
Or the most like athletic or agile, and you could say, yeah, well, I'm gonna swing my rope over there and catch that rock, and then you're like, okay, cool, roll. And it's like one. And you're like, oh. Or like you go to battle somebody and you roll and it's like, oh, cool, I rolled a 3. And so like even the plans that you make as a player before your turn comes up can just completely be demolished.
All faded by, like literally Thoron's fate is a good example of you got the last roll of the enemy who had like 3 HP left got a natural 20 to hit you.
Oh,
and it was the end of Thoron.
That's a perfect, you know, I want to make sure I got like 9 minutes until a hard stop, but I definitely want to talk quickly about the fate of my character and how it all kind of wrapped up, because I thought, you know, it was intense, but man, what a way to kind of end it all. Like we were fighting all these different like demons and monsters and all this stuff, and we were doing, I think, pretty well. I mean, like I was, you know, anytime any of us were getting down, I would like kind of like heal us all, and we were able to just like crush. Well, finally, we're just like the last beast or whatever it was, we had him, you know, on the ropes essentially. And the thing about Tyler's character was super powerful spell wise and can cause a lot of damage and do a lot of things, but very like weak in terms of hit like points. Strength and like hit points. So it's easier for him to die than it would be myself or especially Luke's character. And so he was just like ragged, you know, he got hit like really hard and was just about to die. And so instead of using my turn to attack, I used my turn to heal Tyler or Elric, Tyler's character. And then the monster like rolled a natural 20 and killed my character.
And ironically, as the game ended, I my hit points were completely filled to the brim.
Not ironically, that was purpose. You know, there was purpose behind that.
I did have some amazing.
That's what
I had some amazing roles though, like right at the very end.
Thankfully, because it's so funny, man. Like that's part of the reason why we started making fun of the Bladesinger character in the first place. Because you like hyped it up so much before we ever started playing, and then the first like I will say 20 rolls that you ever had to
do were horrible.
Were just terrible.
Yeah, once
and so we're all just like, and so we were just like, I was giving you so much grief. Man, it was so
well. I got like really into it. I also wrote like a ton of backstory, like pages and pages of this backstory. And like, you know, I had been listening to this really cool podcast called D&D Optimized, where it's kind of a like a theory craft based thing. There's no story. It's very like, okay, how can I optimize a character? How can I multi-class and kind of maneuver and make my character really powerful? And so, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm like, man, this dude is just going to rip. And it doesn't matter. If you're rolling like, you know, bad rolls, it's just, you're at the mercy of fate, you know. So
it makes it so much more fun that way too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited for the next campaign. I've been doing a lot of writing for that. And I'm really excited about like the opening story and like the like overarching story overall. Like I cannot wait for you guys to play.
Oh man, that's so exciting to hear. Tyler or Luke or Ellis, is there anything else that you want to like throw in there before we start to wrap it up?
Yes, I want to ask, and sorry to interrupt guys if anybody else
is <You're> good. Go ahead.
What the hell was going to happen with that gelatinous cube thing that we just left?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it wasn't a gelatinous cube, it was just like this big,
it was like a big like
souls or
it's yeah bones. So basically what those are lore wise is it's like a human soul that is like bound for hell, like someone okay. who is evil in their life basically goes down and they become like the lowest form of devil that there can be. They're tortured, they're enslaved, they're put to work. So that one was there and it was just a tormented soul. It wasn't going to hurt you or anything. It was really just there to be like a, to keep like you between learning. The dagger to see like what you guys did. And no one ever equipped that dagger. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, what was the dagger?
Never used the dagger.
It was cursed. I was really excited for someone to like equip
it. Oh, knew it. Gosh.
What about those dang, what about those mushrooms?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
those were really exciting.
Were they just poisonous?
Those would have been a hallucination for about 2 hours where the person who eats it continuously dies in the hallucination over and over, and you would have taken some psychic damage.
Oh, great.
So you would have lived different deaths over and over.
Do you understand, like, anybody listening why, like, hopefully, and I don't think I did it justice in terms of, like, how long it took us to make decisions, but this is why.
Yo.
Like, if you eat a mushroom, you have a death hallucination for 2 hours, or if you grab this dagger that's just laying there, it just, like, becomes a part of you, like, this obsession thing.
That's why
it's just awesome, man. Like, the stakes
are
just
so
much fun.
Super important to listen, because there's, like, a lot of, like, keys, or, like, clues and stuff that are in, like, the descriptions.
Say, I mean, like, and Tyler, you said you like the problem solving and stuff, and I think you are really good at that, because, like, you would always notice things that I definitely wouldn't have noticed, and then we'd be like, oh, okay, good thing we asked about that or whatever. But of course, then hopefully this next campaign, we're going to be more just, I guess, assertive and just start going forward, because, man, we would just sit there for hours just asking questions.
We would. Oh, but sessions will probably be capped out at like 3 to 4 hours, like max.
Yes.
Well, and I think I can speak for all of our wives, too, that the session, like, dude, the last session, by the way, listener, was no joke. And here's the best part. We're like, okay, we're going to start at 2 in the afternoon so that we can kind of wrap it up early. This is the end. This is the last thing. A full work day. But you know what's funny? It didn't, I mean, towards the end, like, we were all kind of, like, tired, but it didn't feel like 8 hours, dude. It went by so quickly. And when you say it out loud, when you're like, yeah, we're 8 hours, it's kind of like, man, that was a long time.
Well, yeah, but you got to look at it. For all those people out there that aren't players and have never played D&D, it's like you kind of got to look at it as like, you know, well, how many hours does it take to read like a really amazing like novel? So to us, like even though we're sort of playing it, we're looking at this thing with that sort of level of like respect and reverence. And so like to us, and especially I would imagine for you, Ellis, being the dungeon master, it's like, you know, you really have to give like an amazing bookend to like give resolve and to give closure to like this amazing world and cast of characters.
Oh yeah. It's just like writing any story. Like you have to approach it that way. Like you're writing a screenplay or you're going to be writing a book or a
novel.
It's
almost like a series because it's so long.
Even though my character died, I did get the chance to deal the final death blow to this red dragon that we got in battle, which
I rode on his back.
Like the whole time.
Yeah. Hey, but the death was a good lesson, you know, because now you know that characters can die.
Yeah.
I know, man. In a way, it makes me even more nervous, like starting out at such like a low level and then like something happening like at level 5 or something. It's like, boom, he's dead. It's like, oh.
But I guess you could make a new character.
Well, that's what you would have to do. There's no way to revive the dead character, you just make a new one. Have a new backstory and a new life.
Yeah, we just meet a new guy that's woody, character.
Would you just like reintroduce him into like the next story or the next like
He might not even show up right away, but it would be something like that would be written into the story. It's like you come across.
I'm already pit.
Like you come across like a bunch of slavers, and like you release the slaves, and then your new character was one of the people in the cage, right? So it's like something like that.
Wow, that's cool.
I didn't know we were gonna talk about slavers today, but hopefully what we did though was, and I don't know if we did, maybe it was just a bunch of rambling and an excuse for us to all get together again before our new campaign starts to talk about that last campaign. But hopefully,
and if so, mission accomplished, because I'm happy,
man. Me too. Hopefully though, listeners who have been either kind of thinking about getting into Dungeons and Dragons, or maybe we kind of entice them to send us a message or ask us questions about getting started and all that. I mean, that would be really cool.
And we'll
cool.
direct all those messages straight over to Ellis.
Straight to Ellis. But man, dude, for real, Ellis, man, thank you so much for the amazing work you did on that last campaign. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I speak for us all. That was just so much fun, man. And so like, I don't know, like epic is really the only word that I could think of. I mean, anytime you can like essentially sit down in one spot and be there for what would be like two viewings of the Snyder Cut mm-hmm. and, you know, come away not feeling like, man, what the heck was that? You know, we all just felt just energized and just, you know, even though my character freaking died because I saved Tyler, which might be the story of real life. There might be some parallel there. I just think it was just an incredible time. And I know you guys are busy. Where can people find you guys online and explore, you know, y'all's podcast?
Yeah. If you're into movies and stuff, check out Friends from Film School podcast. Mm-hmm. That's our show. There's a YouTube version. So there's like a video version, and that's on the Sozo Bear Films YouTube channel. And there's also just the audio version that's on, you know, wherever you get your podcast. Yeah. And follow us on Instagram, Sozo Bear Films, and Friends from Film School podcast.
One quick thing that I wanted to say about Friends from Film School, their podcast is this. It's really kind of cool because, or what I enjoy about y'all's podcast is, you know, we might even have like a topic. Like I think you guys did one, you know, a couple months ago, several episodes ago about Terminator, the first one. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting to listen to y'all's take on that movie because not only do you take the filmmaker / film student, you know, approach to whatever movie it is that you're talking mm-hmm. about, which is, you know, unique to what Tyler and I would do. But we would have some similarities probably in how we like approach the review of the movie or whatever in terms of storytelling and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But what I found was really interesting, something that Ty and I can't do, is you guys view it in the perspective of someone much younger than us. And so you see things differently than we did because we remember what it was like when we saw those movies. Mm-hmm. And hearing y'all's take on things and opinions and stuff, it's super cool. And like I said, unique in comparison, like what we would say about that movie, for example. So yeah, if you're into movies and you kind of want like a nice deep dive into even things like favorite shots or like
back end
visual effects mm-hmm. or like behind the scenes type stuff, it's a really fun and entertaining podcast to listen to. It's really cool.
I totally agree. Dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for coming on and, Tyler, where can everybody listening find us?
Well, our bulk of social media presence is Instagram. That would be Rad on Instagram. You know, if you want to talk to us, feel free to shoot us a comment, shoot us a DM. If it's a more long form kind of deal, feel free to send it to thatwouldberadpod@gmail.com. You know, without you guys coming week after week, we wouldn't be able to do this. And it's because of you that it's all possible. So, as always, we love you, we appreciate you, and as always,
be rad. That's the way it goes. My favorite song on the radio.
clouds in a time where I just needed some sunshine. You were already dead before you became a ghost. You are.